B-Pod Studios.
This whole Anna Nicole deal.
Mm-hmm.
She dies at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino and Hotel. I guess.
Where you just saw her a few weeks ago.
I saw her a month ago. I saw her this year.
Right.
Went to the fights, the James Toney fight down in Miami at the Hollywood Hard Rock. Sure enough, she created a whole big stir when she walked into the arena, her and Hulk Hogan.
Hulk.
That's the way I used to say Hulk Hogan, but I don't say that anymore because Randy the Macho Man Savage always called him Hulk. Hulk Hogan.
And you're a big big Randy
Macho
Man Savage fan.
I was at one point in time until I saw him in a bar in Southwest Florida, and the guy had a bit of an attitude.
Very short man, too.
Very elfin.
Yep.
He's, tons of muscles.
Yep.
But a little elf. A little tiny guy. And a bad attitude on him. I don't know if it was the steroids, because that affects your mood. Trust me, I know. I'm still on at least a two-cycle-a-week deal with the steroids, and it affects your mood. But
I wonder why you're getting so many pimples.
It's horrible. And the over-the-counter medication doesn't work. Not for this testosterone stuff. Woo! But she was there, and really, she looked almost walking like a zombie. She was zombie-like. And she had her seat at the fight, couple of rows back from ringside. She didn't stay for the fight. It was really weird. Hulk Hogan and there was a few other people that I don't. Well, Shaq was there,
right.
And who's that rapper? That Fat Joe.
Okay,
the rapper
mm-hmm.
was there, and a few, and they all stayed and watched the fight. She comes in. She was like three rows back where her seat was. Her entourage with her, and the paparazzi all around, cameras, video cameras, still pictures. She was surrounded by cameramen, and she must have liked this Hard Rock. I mean, she was there for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
She checked in on Monday, I guess, to the Hard Rock, but she comes in, and while everybody's getting seated, Don King's there with Al Sharpton. And she comes in through one tunnel into the arena, surrounded, walks around ringside, says hi to Hulk Hogan, and a couple of pictures taken there. The Hulkster not real grabby with her. He almost wanted to keep his distance from her.
Mm-hmm.
And then
his wife was probably keeping a close
eye
on him.
That could very well be. And she posed for photographs. And
did she say anything on the mic, on the PA or anything?
No, nope.
Did they introduce her and point her out?
When
they were doing all the,
when they
like
were
said,
doing
all
the
ringing. B, all the B-level celebrities.
And it was Jimmy Lennon Jr. who was in the ring, and he announces Anna Nicole. She had already left.
Oh, geez.
Everybody else was seated, and James Brown band was up there. They had the flags for the anthem, and they're announcing. She had already left. She merely walked into the place through one tunnel, walked to ringside, had her picture taken with Hulk Hogan, went and had a bunch of pictures because they were following her, like when somebody leaves the courthouse,
right? Just a mob,
and just a mob of media following her. Walked along ringside and walked out the next tunnel and was gone. Was there, made her appearance. She did go to where her seat was. She probably was there for a minute.
Right.
Got and left. Gone. And all the hooting and hollering, but you could spot her from a mile away. The arena wasn't that big to begin with. It's smaller than Germain Arena.
How many did it hold, you think?
Probably right around probably the same amount that Germain holds.
Okay.
Probably 6,000-7,000, on a good night. and but it's smaller. You're much more. It's much more compact.
Right.
The upper balcony. You're practically leaning over into the crowd below.
Right.
She goes and she leaves, and that was like a month ago. So I hear yesterday she dropped dead. Shock to no one, probably.
Right.
She's got enough problems, but, and we'll talk about this later on. Howard K. Stern. Hmm. Now, I got for the grab bag, but it was last night. Her mother warned her about the people she was hanging around with. Who's starting the big conspiracy thing? And I'm telling you right now, tip of the iceberg. Geraldo Rivera, who said, and they're already hinting around, and again, rumor, speculation, who's the only person that was in the room when Anna Nicole's son mysteriously died? Who was with Anna Nicole mm-hmm. when she now mysteriously died? Flu-like symptoms?
Mm-hmm.
Howard K. Stern. And Geraldo went on Fox last night, I think it was Hannity and Colmes, and went and said, we got to look at this guy. Who's the only person connected to both deaths? Who's the only person that was there? Howard K. Stern and her mother. Says, beware of the people that you're hanging out with. They're dangerous people. We worry about your safety. But she went out the way she wanted to go out. She wanted to be a Marilyn Monroe. And 39.
Yep.
39 and dead at the heart. And here's the big deal. People don't know where I go. People can't trace me. People can't track me down. So it's about 3:00, and I'm at church.
Right. You know, I was going to text you when I found out, but I figured I'm not going to bother
him
at church.
Well, the first one to tell me was, naturally, because she loves the gossip, the closer to home, the better. But my ex-wife called me first and said, did you hear Anna Nicole died? Then the waterman calls. He's supposed to be sick, mm-hmm. fresh out of surgery, but he's no problem to call and let me know that Anna Nicole Smith has died. Now, the third person that told me didn't call me on my cell phone when I was at church. He called at home, and that was Steele.
Mm.
Steele, though, has no clue as to where I am. He knew that Haney and I were going to church yesterday.
Right.
He calls me at home. Hey, there's got to be a lot of commotion going on down there, huh, man? It's got to be crazy where you are, the church you're at. He's thinking Haney and I are at the church down in Hollywood.
Right.
What's going on down there, Stan? It's got to be mayhem where you are right now. I just deleted it.
Right.
Delete. Steele, you can't track me.
No. And you on a weekday, you're not going to go to the big church over.
No.
Down
that's only for weekend services.
Right.
And Mr. Steele, whoever it is you hired to have us followed,
yeah.
Don't think you'll have to worry about paying them again.
But yeah, he's thinking Haney and I are down there yesterday.
At the Crystal Cathedral.
At the Crystal Cathedral. But no, we were at the hometown church. And so yeah, he wanted an update. He thought we were there.
So he was trying to get you to be like a cub reporter out on mm-hmm. the scene.
I'm not going.
Oh, he didn't want that.
I'm not going to address this totally.
He may have thought he wanted that, but that wouldn't have been good.
I do want Haney to save the story of what happened to him yesterday. So I'm not going to talk about that. I'm just telling you that at around 7:00 today, right after we do traffic, you're going to hear something that is about as creepy comes.
Creepiest thing that's ever happened to me.
Creepiest thing that he told me. when we were at church, we were in the pew having a cold beer. I mean, some holy wine.
Mm-hmm.
And he...
Jesus juice.
Yes. And he sat down, white as a ghost. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with you? He goes, the creepiest, sickest thing just happened to me. And it has never... I've never encountered this before in my life. I'll save that one. I'll save that. I want Haney to tell the story just like he told me, because I did a double, triple take.
I don't think I can tell it just like I told you.
Well, yeah, you really can. It was pretty graphic. I don't want to tell everybody what it was graphic. What I do want to address right now, because it affects me, Stan, is... Your girlfriend has a big problem with me.
Oh yeah, she does. She hates it.
I've usually, for the most part, gotten along with people in Haney's life. From day one,
you've been a champion of diplomacy.
There. That's the best explanation. I've been a champion of diplomacy. I may not always like what's going on, but I'll be diplomatic about the thing and respect his wishes.
You will sit down at the table with the Israelis and the Palestinians and try not to talk politics.
That's exactly.
How about them Dodgers?
How about them? I don't know. Well, I do know.
But she's directly engaged you now.
She is the vile, the venom.
No civility whatsoever.
And I'll give you an edited Reader's Digest version. We have the stereo on in the car because we're coming back from church. And we're listening to the radio. Then we're listening to some of Haney's music. And so it's loud in the car. And his phone rings. So instead, you know how bad Haney's hearing is. Instead of picking up the phone and putting it to his ear, he just put it on loudspeaker. Hello? And it's the girlfriend. And I go, and I said, hello? I don't want to effing talk to you.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you're through. I don't want. Tell me if I'm lying. You are not welcome in my home.
Oh, no.
If you're here to hang out with Haney, make sure I'm gone, because you're no longer welcome. I don't want to see you.
Oh.
And I'm like, and it's not one of those little sarcastic, little poke a stick at Stan thing. No, it was venom.
Well, she's mad about the trip to Vegas.
Right.
And right now... As she pointed out when I got home, I said, boy, you're a little rough on Stan there.
Yeah!
And she goes, well, at least I'm focused on him. You want me to focus on you?
And then she called, and then he hangs.
No, that's fine. Go ahead. Go back to Stan.
Then he hangs up, says goodbye to her. About 5 minutes later, she calls back. Annie puts speaker, and she wants to talk about Anna Nicole Smith. Anna Nicole Smith.
Because I told her about it.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I know. And I said, I answered. He picks up the phone. He goes, hello. She goes, here's the latest on Anna Nicole Smith. So I chime in. Yeah, I want to know what's going on. What the hell are you doing on the phone? I'm not here to talk to you. I want to talk to my boyfriend. And I'm like, oh, ho, 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 ho. What did I ever do to you but be kind? Oh, and then
I've never known you to do.
Yeah. And then it came out. She starts talking about Haney and I, alluding to the fact that we're going to Las Vegas. And she throws out there, you know, Haney likes to be coddled and hugged before he goes to bed. He likes it. And I just shouted back at her, yeah, well, what about what I like? And that got her all mad again. Ooh, I've never... In all my years, I've never heard such venom for somebody that I'm not involved with.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You most certainly have heard venom worse than that.
But seriously, it was like, okay, hold on a second. She's not joking. She truly thinks I'm just dirt. You're not welcome in my home. And, you know, for the last probably 3 months, every other day, I'll get a little thing on the MySpace page, be my friend. Mm-hmm. And I've rejected it.
Oh.
Because I don't need that headache. So she was just so angry and vicious in the four-letter words and the venom. And I said to her, just to try to smooth things over, hey, look, when I get home, I'm going to go to the MySpace page and ask you to be my friend. I'll block you, you ass.
Boy, you're still thinking about that, huh?
Oh, it bothered me. You know things like that bother me.
Because you're not trying to get on anyone's bad side.
I never have. I'm a friend to all. And she just, oh, I was tossing and turning last night thinking about it. What did I ever do to her? Nothing but kindness.
That's true. All you did was, you know, to make it possible for me to go to Vegas without her.
Is there?
Which I thank you for.
You're welcome. Is there anything? Is there a problem? Tom, do you see a problem with me getting my friend of 20 some odd years a birthday present?
Not at all.
There's nothing wrong with getting my buddy a birthday present.
Nope.
I wanted to do something nice. What does Haney like? Haney likes to play music. Haney likes to gamble.
And well, smoke.
And smoke. Well, I'm not gonna get him a carton of smokes.
I do enjoy smoking.
And you know what? And I can't play a note, so what's the next thing? Gamble. I know what I'm going to get Haney for his birthday, a trip to Las Vegas.
That's much better than if you had tried to sing me a song.
Yep, exactly. Can you imagine me singing you a song? I don't think so.
I mean, that would
so
be pretty
suddenly,
cheap.
She's turned on me like a rabid dog. I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. Tell her for me, I don't have any problem with her. Why should she have
she
a problem
she
with me?
Care. Doesn't care.
And I'll give her a day to get over it.
You're giving her 24 hours?
24 hours. Or it's war, baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I guess Anna Nicole really likes our Seminole Hard Rock.
Yeah, she loves that place.
I love it, too.
I know. It's great. We're going to take a break.
Have you seen the updated gossip?
Well, Howard K. Stern could be the murderer.
Well, and, you know, yesterday, as soon as it happened, they started the Maryland stuff.
Yep.
But she may actually be more along the lines of Hendrix because they're claiming now that she drowned in her own vomit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I guess the final footage of her lifeless corpse being worked on.
Yeah.
Going for over $500,000.
Well, they had the witnesses there. She was initially in the ambulance uncovered with the CPR and people at the Hard Rock could go and look in the ambulance and see her.
See, that's just part of the ambiance. You never know what's going to happen at the Hard Rock.
Yep.
That's why
anything
I love
can
it.
Happen. And the witness said there was one person there with a camera on his cell phone.
I mean, it's one thing
clicking away.
It's one thing to have like Don Henley's guitar behind glass, but yep. When they're wheeling the body of Anna Nicole Smith through there, that's mm-hmm. excitement.
Yes. And then they said the next second the sheet was over. All right, we're going to take a break. Kool-Aid's supposed
Vander
to be in.
Sauce wheeled out of the one in Immokalee.
Yep. Yep. Kool-Aid's supposed to be here. I don't know if he'll be here for the Almanac. Also on the show today, a little bit later on, our buddy Doug McGregor is going to stop by with a few of his bandmates. He's going to be playing tonight, opening with the Blue Oyster Cult. That'll be down at Centennial Park. He'll be stopping by. We'll have all the regular tons of Anna Nicole stuff, and including that clip of Geraldo that says tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Could this be the tip of the iceberg?
Yep.
I'm Geraldo, and I'm licensed to carry a handgun.
Yep.
Live from Mogadishu.
We'll be
where
back.
I'm hiding behind a warlord's ample skirt.
Recently, Dave the Waterman was asked to remove himself from his place of residence. That request came from his parents. With nowhere else to go, he appeared at the home of his longtime friend, Stan Nowalonic. Sometime earlier, Stan's wife had thrown him out, requesting that he never return. Now, can two grown men share a condo without driving each other crazy?
Stan, come here, Stan, please.
All right, Dave, you know what? You may have had surgery, but I didn't bargain for this. What do you want now?
Stan, can you make me a peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah, I'll go fix that right up now for you, Dave. Okay, Dave, here you go.
I don't like it with the crust on it.
What the hell? You better get better fast.
Stan, I need a drink bad. My throat's really dry.
I thought you weren't supposed to drink booze.
I got a bottle hidden in a cabinet right there behind the cereal. Can you grab that for me?
Ah, damn, I didn't bargain for this.
God bomb one of your smokes, man.
Dave, I don't care. Cancer surgery or not, you're not smoking in bed.
Could you go down to my car and get my medicine? It should be in the glove compartment. It's in a big, like an ounce plastic bag.
If it'll make you feel better and shut you up for a little while, I'll go down to your car and get it. Well, it's in the glove compartment, right?
I got some glass in there, too. Could you grab my glass pipe while you're at it?
Oh, there it is. That's got to be at least an ounce there.
Sir, I need you to step away from the vehicle.
And I thought he was kidding when he was here before, because he had to have another skin graft done the other day.
Yeah.
And he was here last week with the first failed skin graft, and he kept telling me, "Ain't there flies following me around?"
And also...
Evidently, he was right.
And also, somebody saw a piece of his skin fall off, mm-hmm. and he stuck it back on.
Yeah. Simple as that, really.
Yeah, that's about it.
Skin grafts aren't complicated.
No.
If it falls off, you just stick it back on. It still makes me sad when I see the bug commercials with the lone midget.
Yeah, and do you know you can go to the lone midget's website and relive their commercials together?
Because it used to be twin midgets.
Yep.
And one of them died.
Yep. You can go online and relive when they were together.
My God, have they not paid the bill on the internet or something?
Why?
It's really slow.
Is it?
Yeah.
Somebody's doing something in here. It might be that Randy over at 106 downloading something.
Yeah, it's slow as molasses.
Yep. What's this? What is this? Yes.
Yo.
Oh, hey.
Oh.
Just played the new Odd Couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for letting me stay at your place, man.
Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? It's radio, okay?
Hey, I don't care. I'm still coming over.
You ain't coming over to my house.
Yeah, all right.
I learned from Haney's girlfriend.
What?
You come over. Don't. If you're coming over, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah,
you're not welcome in my home.
She won't let Stan in the house anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd you do, pal?
Get Haney a birthday present.
What?
You heard me.
Man, he's got a couple weeks till his birthday, man. We'll get it covered.
I already got his birthday.
What'd you get him?
And let me say something to you.
Why am I not?
I'm going to say this right now.
Remember, he's not supposed to get upset or
he's
laugh
not get
or
upset.
Anything.
You know, I already got Haney's birthday present. Don't give me the line of, hey, we'll get it covered and all that. Everybody's birthday comes and goes,
and you
ignore it because you won't spend on anybody.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
That's not true.
What'd you get him?
A trip to Las Vegas.
Come on, man.
I did.
You got him a trip to Vegas. All
I
right.
did.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
man.
But she wasn't happy about it.
And so now now my name is Dirt.
I wouldn't imagine she would.
Weren't you supposed to give?
What do you mean you wouldn't imagine she's? You're supposed to be on my side.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Weren't you supposed to give Haney an email?
Oh, damn it!
Yeah. Well, we'll try that on Monday.
Well
you're going to be here on Monday, right?
In Monday.
You're going to come in on Monday?
Hell yeah.
You sure about that?
I'm going crazy, man.
You know what you do?
Did the doctors tell you it was okay to come in on Monday?
Yeah, they said just a few days, man.
You got to just keep the skin graft away from air. Wear a plastic bag over your head.
I'll tell you what. This
cinched good and tight.
This one looks real good this time, guys.
How do you know you're not supposed to take the bandages off?
Yeah.
Well, I took a sneak peek.
Don't you dare! What is your effing problem, you stooge?
I had to, man.
No, you didn't have to.
But it looks good. It looks real good.
You're not supposed to take the bandages off, you idiot.
Yeah, well. Just a quickie.
The last skin graft that didn't take, they took the skin from behind your ear. Where'd they take the skin from this time?
This time they got it from my ass.
All right. Yeah, good. You sound pretty awake and alive today.
Yeah, I'm a little awake, man. Yeah. I'm bored, man. I'm
good. I'll be emailing you over. Get that email over here. A bunch of your contacts. By the way, thanks for getting us Joe Namath.
Hey.
Call us back later when you calm down and get that email over to us so you can at least work from your home. Sorry about that. And I don't want to be mean to him.
I don't know that he should come in on Monday.
I think
because they want it to. Let's put it this way:
he's already taken the bandages off. The idiot.
If he had money and/or insurance,
he'd be in the hospital.
They would have kept him there in a sterile environment. They said, "Well, since you don't have any money or insurance, we are going to send you home, but don't be around people."
Buffoon!
You walk into this building with a part of your body open.
It's a sick building. It's a sick building. All right, we got to move along. Here, let me just.
I get hot and thirsty riding a skateboard.
Me too. This is a job for Kool-Aid. Hey, Kool-Aid!
Oh, yeah. Kool-Aid's here, bringing you fun. Kool-Aid's got thirst on the run. Get a big, wide, happy ear to ear.
Kool-Aid's my smile.
Tastes great. Our friend's cool.
Our friend's Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
Seem a little tired this morning, huh?
Yeah, a little tired this
morning.
Yeah,
what's your problem?
Well, you know, I don't know.
He may. Don't worry about it. He's going to come around. And I can tell because he's wearing his favorite shirt.
Yeah.
You do wear that shirt a lot.
Yeah.
It's the only one that fits.
It is. It's a comfort level.
Here it is. It's 6:47. That's 13 before 7. Proud to have with us the winner of the first annual John Cassio Rising Star Award, Kool-Aid.
Hey, all right.
Very nice.
Mia Farrow, 62 today.
I thought he was going to bust into Been Caught Stealing.
Hey, all right.
She had sex with Frank Sinatra. And then Woody Allen.
Like, yeah.
How can you go from one to the other? That's kind of a weird thing.
Because all women are crazy, Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to teach you that.
And yeah. She's a special weird kind of crazy.
Yeah, she's a nut.
I don't know. As far as Frank, the only thing I can see there for him is youth.
Well, that's exactly what it was. He was 50 at the time. She was like 20.
Well, he did what you always say to do. He took the best years of her life, didn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And he did that to a lot of women.
Yeah. Tom and I were just talking about that.
Haven't heard many of them complain either.
Well, who have you done that to? Taking the best years of their life.
Who, Stan?
Yeah.
You don't know
me.
He
can't answer that, right. But I can tell you he's done it.
Joe Pesci is 64 today.
And we know him from...
Movies.
All kinds.
Yeah. Hollywood Joe Pesci.
Yeah, Hollywood Joe Pesci.
Goodfellas, My Cousin Vinny.
There we go.
All that kind of stuff.
And the famed lounge singer.
Yeah.
He is?
Went out as Vincent LaGuardia and tried to start a, you know, cabaret act a couple years ago. It failed miserably.
Next.
Pretty much Goodfellas is it for him.
Oh, yeah.
It? As far as
Casino.
Anything of quality.
Casino.
Casino was good.
Raging Bull, wasn't he in
Raging Bull?
Yeah, but he'd have a big part.
He was a supporting actor to De Niro, as usual.
No, but I mean, pretty much, if he died today, everybody would be playing You Talking to Me.
What about Home Alone or Gone Fishing?
Am I funny? Am I what? Like a clown? Like
my cousin Vin?
On this day in 1964, the Beatles appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, earning themselves $2,400.
Leave that to Christy Banks.
Yeah, leave that to her.
I told you don't do the Beatles one.
Well, I thought you
I told
song.
You.
I thought there was a song.
You know what? Dang. How long you been in radio talking to a mic?
Okay, how's this one? 1975, Cher made her solo debut with her own TV show. Nothing?
No. And that was the reaction at the time as well. Yeah. Where's Sonny?
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to like this one either. 1997, The Simpsons became the longest running primetime
anime. In 1977?
1997.
Uh-huh. I like the Simpsons.
Beating out the Flintstones.
Nothing wrong with The Simpsons.
All right, let's get to the songs, because this is going very well today.
And remember that when you're doing birthdays, if it's a movie... Hollywood's Joe Pesci. If it's a TV person, it's TVs.
Yeah.
Wow, what's the... people know who they are.
Point of reference.
You really... You don't get it.
I'm not a radio kind of person.
You got that right.
On this day, 1970, Sly and the Family Stone received a gold record for their single, Thank You.
Oh, yeah. That's not thank you. It's, how is it? Thank you for letting me be myself again. On a good foot.
This was a chart topper.
You better believe it. Don't you say anything about Sly.
You honestly don't like this?
I've heard some of the junk you listen to.
It kind
of
sounds like a 1970s, like, cartoon.
Man, this was some funk at the time.
You better believe it.
Did you have the, what was it, 8-track?
Yes, I had an 8-track.
And those days, it probably would have been more a 45. You were ahead of the curve if you had an 8-track of this.
Did an 8-track only have 8 tracks on it?
Had four tracks in stereo.
Yeah, 4 tracks in stereo. Not 4 tracks like cuts, but it was the album was divided into 4 separate sections, so it had like 3 songs.
Oh, I love this part. Janet Jackson sampled that. That was her only listenable song. That part right there, sampled, it's hardcore.
A chart topper on this day.
Sorry,
a chart topper on this day.
You're losing me.
1944 was Jelly Roll. One of my personal favorites. Yeah. I can go for a donut right now, to be honest with you.
You don't know what Jelly Roll means, do you?
Jelly Roll. All the pigs got done and come to attend to see which.
This wasn't an 8-track, a 45, or an LP. It was a 78.
Yep.
Like or a wire recording.
Yeah.
One of those big records.
A cylinder. Yeah, they went really fast.
And I saved this last one for Kool-Aid because it's one of Kool-Aid's favorites.
Yeah.
It's dear to my heart. A chart topper on this day, 1984, Karma Chameleon by The Culture Club.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Yeah. Had to play this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they rock, man. Puts a little bounce in your step.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good day today. I can feel it.
It helps you wake up in the morning, that's for sure.
She really sang some pretty harmonies.
Yes,
and
she's
a pretty girl, too.
Yeah. And she's put on some weight.
Yeah, but I mean, what is this, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I put on some weight, too.
You got that
here
right.
Here we go, here we go.
Here it is.
Come, chameleon. You come and go. You come and go. Loving would be easy if you caught us like my dream.
Oh, I forgot that line.
Red, gold, and green.
What do you mean you forgot that part? It was drilled into our head. We had to play it like 70 times a day.
But you know what? Say what you want about that time and that music. This was a toe tap.
No, this wasn't a bad one.
No.
But that just shows you how bad the other songs were.
You are right.
What was the ridiculous premise for this video?
I don't know. Yeah.
You remember music videos, Kool-Aid? Did you ever see any of them?
No, not very many.
He had that hat and the long hair. And
they're
the
crazy. Music videos are just crazy nonsense.
Why?
Especially towards the end. They start when they first started out.
Yeah.
Music videos.
Please,
Stan, that's what we had enough.
He's rocking. Let him go.
Okay, he's gone.
I gotta go and put this on my iPod.
You would
over and over.
All right, I love Church of the Poison Mind. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed that one, too.
You can outro yourself.
And that's the Almanac for today, Friday, February 9th, 2007.
You see, Kool-Aid, with these music videos, when they first started, they were a novelty. and people would get, you know, film directors to go and try to put a cohesive storyline to a 3-minute song. And when it worked, it was pretty cool. But like with everything else, then the record companies go, ooh, this could be something for us. And then everybody was required to put out a music video, yep, whether they had an idea or not. Mm-hmm. So you ended up with a lot of random images that didn't make any sense and were really annoying.
A lot of student film type stuff, just trying to be avant-garde, yep, for the, yep, sake of being wacky.
And you realize that MTV was nothing but video after video, yeah, after video, after video, after video, after video.
That's all it was.
Oh, shit.
Wasn't there a lot of Duran Duran at the beginning of MTV?
Yeah, yeah, yep, a lot.
All right, we got to take a break.
You're lucky you weren't growing up then.
We'll take our first look at traffic and
a lot of nonsense.
Haney's,
yeah, like
gonna...
Thriller by Michael Jackson. That video.
That was actually a good video. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it made no sense to what the song really entailed, though.
Doesn't matter.
And I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, but...
And he's going to tell you a great story that happened to him at church yesterday. I'm telling you, I've never seen Haney more freaked out.
It was a crazy day down in Hollywood for you guys, huh?
Shining with a heavenly grace, help you right on by. And there ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. The running south with Ben and Haney getting into town. Just slipping on by with Ben and Haney, crying that trouble bound. Friday night and you're looking clean, the word you to start the rounds. A 10-minute drive from the Gold Coast back makes you show your pleasure bound. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning and all the people have gone away. Just you and your mind to make sure drive, tomorrow is another day. And the sun shines fine in the morning time, tomorrow is another day. Like it, anywhere I found, running south with Ben and Haney, getting into the town, just snaking on by with Ben and Haney, Friday night trouble bound.
I'm a collector of baseball jerseys, football jerseys, hockey jerseys. I like to collect them. And my latest addition to my jersey collection is the one I'm wearing right now. I got this directly from the Yankees. This is a game-worn Don Zimmer jersey.
Wait a second. You're wearing a jersey that Don...
It's been dry cleaned.
Oh, okay. All right.
And...
A lot of sweat.
When I went and got this jersey, I told the salesman, I said, I want
something big enough. I can't fit into a Robinson Cano jersey or a Milky Cabrera.
Well, we do have a beer fart back there.
And I said, give me something, because when I wear the jersey, I want it to be baggy. I don't want it to be tight. And, of course, this...
You ever heard of Don Beer Fart Zimmer? Yeah.
And this one here, I mean, I can wrap it all the way around me like a blanket.
Don Zimmer wore that shirt.
Yes. And so Kool-Aid's going, I see you got that Zimmer jersey. Don Beer Fart Zimmer, who's 300 pounds.
He is not three. He's a lot smaller than he looks.
Uh-huh. And so I said to
Kool-Aid... Very light on his feet.
I said to Kool-Aid, try the jersey on.
And it fit nicely.
It did not.
When I first put it on, it fit nicely.
The buttons were snapping, your gut hanging out. You are bigger than Don Zimmer.
Well, because being big...
You are bigger round, and seriously,
first of all,
Don Zimmer's a big guy.
No, Don Zimmer's not. On TV, he looks like a big guy, but that's because he has a huge head. Mm-hmm. And it makes the rest of him look really big.
You can pull up any picture on the internet of Don Zimmer and this jersey. You can tell whether, if he had a coin underneath, you could tell whether it was heads or tails.
But being fat in 2007 and being fat in 1977 are two totally different things.
It is. It's a different kind of fat.
It's a bigger fat these days.
Face facts. Admit it. You couldn't fit into the jersey.
You're saying you wish you were around in 1977 when fat was different?
Yes, skinny. Yeah.
So you'd be considered skinny in 77.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be considered skinny, but I'd be considered
athletic. You know, we were all around in 77, and we knew fat people.
Yes, we did.
Well, I know it was a different fat.
No, it wasn't. You'd fit right in.
That's not true.
Tom bowled over laughing when you tried to button a Don Zimmer jersey. Thank you, Tom.
There's a picture of Don Zimmer for you.
See, it's just a real big head and a big neck.
You're right. I stand corrected. He's svelte.
I'll come right out and say it.
Traffic will be busy at Germain Arena tonight, where I'll be doing a hockey game.
And
shut up.
No delays. No delays on the Marco Island Bridge, where I'll be tonight.
You'll be on the Marco Island Bridge?
Oh, I'll be on Marco Island.
Spray painting it?
Yeah.
Well, he tags.
Tag, right.
Yeah. A little quick JC.
JC was here.
Yeah.
W-U-Z.
We were at the casino yesterday. Haney and I decided to take a little break and spend some time at the casino. Way that it works at the casino, we go and gamble a little, go to the bar.
Really? It works like that?
Go to the bar, have a cold beer, use the restroom.
And have a good time.
Did you guys have a burger?
Stan,
I did.
I'm surprised that you didn't bring me one back.
I had the monster mushroom.
Well, we were running late yesterday.
And I was not in the best of moods. It's dealing with his girlfriend who hates me.
Yeah, well, she needs to get in the kitchen and cook me some cookies.
She'd probably do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needs to put that anger into something. Do something constructive. Make me fatter.
She was very constructive yesterday. I never knew she had a vocabulary like that. But we're at the casino, and I'm sitting at the bar with a cold beer, and Haney sits down at the bar. I've never seen the man more disturbed. Oh, Stan. Oh,
I've never been faced with that before.
I knew he had to go to the restroom before he went to the bar to have a cold beer, and you were rattled. This is now no lie. He's going to clean it up a lot from the way he told me. This is no lie. These are people living right next door to you.
The whole thing was over in less than 60 seconds.
Well, for you.
Yeah. I walk into the men's room. There are two urinals there. Both of them are occupied. As I walk through the door, one of the urinals becomes unoccupied, and the guy hustles out. Another guy is still at the other urinal, so I take the available urinal. Staring straight forward, as a man's supposed to do at the urinal,
you know, you stare at the wall, do your business, wash your hands, get out of there.
But I got that feeling I was being watched.
Really?
You know that feeling that you get where somebody, you just either right behind you or in your peripheral vision, somebody's staring?
And so I started getting creeped out, and I kept staring straight ahead, but out of my peripheral vision, see the guy next to me, old man, see his head kind of leaning around, trying to get a look.
You know, around the partition. He's not looking at Haney's face.
And then I notice that his arm is really moving.
No!
And I thought, okay, maybe he's done and he's just shaking the dew off the lily.
Right.
But
shaking the tree, boss.
He continued to do it even as I was leaving the restroom.
He was at the stall.
No, not at the stall, at the urinal.
Yeah, at the urinal. And, you know, the guy, you got a little partition that breaks up the two urinals. He comes by, and he's so rattled. I said, what was he doing? I mean, how do you know? He said he was leaning back, looking around the partition, staring at
with the arm going.
Doing his business with the arm going and going faster and faster and was standing and was there. He was at the stall doing whatever he was doing.
No, it's not a stall.
Well,
it's a urinal.
But
there's still like a mini divider. It's not like a full stall.
Right. And I was trying to think under what circumstance would that be necessary. And if you were that oversexed that you needed to do that, go into a stall.
Right.
Close the door.
He was a grandfather type. Old man,
and
wearing what was it like a
Guayabera shirt?
Yeah, like a Cuban one.
Cuban shirt,
the four pockets.
Yeah, and he was trying to find him. He said, "I want to show you who this pervert is."
Because he was still there when I skedaddled.
Keep in mind, this is at a casino. There are hundreds of people, all ages, and they do have really nice restrooms. Everything automated. You just wave your hands under the sink.
Very nice furnishings.
Very nice furnishings. And he comes out totally disturbed. And he said, I walked up to the urinal. The guy was still at the urinal, was at the urinal when he got there.
Yeah.
And did the lean back, look around, and was staring, not at Haney's face. Not a word was spoken either.
Nope.
Not talking to
him. No eye contact made.
He was looking down at Haney and jerking the arm.
Oh, my God.
Faster and faster. He was there when Haney got there. Haney finishes, leaves. The guy's still there.
Well, we always talk about it, you know, just when you think you've seen it all.
Yep. And he says, I've never, as Haney says, part of it, you know, you're in your 40s, still part of your innocence can be taken away.
Yeah.
He's never run into that circumstance with a perv, and that's all that can be said.
I mean, you've got to be
pervert.
A hardcore perv.
Yeah, that's major.
And he said, I think he's still in there.
How long afterwards did he come out?
Oh, I didn't see. Yeah. I got the hell out of there and went to the bar.
Did you like wait and like, because you said you wanted to point him out.
Yeah, he was going
to
point him
out. So long.
Didn't see him again.
So he was setting up camp in there for a while.
Evidently.
Oh.
That is, but the fact of the matter is, here you would see, if you saw him out on the street, grandfatherly type.
Wouldn't think anything about it.
You know, elderly man, and he's in there getting his jollies by staring at Haney's deal.
Well, it wasn't just
the business. And the guy before staring at his business.
In hindsight, you know, the guy that was there before me wanted to get out of there in a hurry as well.
Creepy. And Haney brought up a very good point. You're at a casino. You're on a big floor, a lot of employees. What do you do in a situation like that? And that's an honest question to ask. And as Tom, Haney and I didn't have the answer. But I'll ask the two of you guys. You're sitting there watching.
If he said anything or touched me, I would have killed him.
Obviously.
Sure.
No words
but
spoken.
But he didn't say anything.
Didn't touch him, but he's in there cranking it. What do you do? Do you just get out of there quickly and forget about the whole thing?
I thought about it. If I go and call somebody over there,
security?
How the hell am I going to prove that?
Right.
Right.
How are you going to prove it? You know exactly what the pervert's doing. What do you do in that situation? Do you call an attendant? Do you call
talk to somebody behind the bar? Do you tell the guy to knock it off?
I think he already was.
But then you say, well, I want to get out of there as quickly as I can, just get away from him. But the fact of the matter is, this pervert's walking the casino floor doing Lord knows what else. What do? Do you point him out and say, hey, get this sicko out of here? We didn't know what the answer to that would be, other than what Haney did. Let me just finish my business and get the hell out of that restroom. Creepy.
I agree with what you guys did, because I would be gagging, so I need to get out as quickly as possible.
But yet, this guy should be watched.
I would think he should be watched.
Somebody should go and escort his ass.
At least bring it up to someone, because you know there's got to be a zillion cameras.
Prove it.
But then
what if I'm actually wrong and he's got some kind of prostate problem?
He's had some kind of surgery where there's just like a tube there instead of anything. Or a bag or something holding it.
See, I don't know that, and I did not want to investigate.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and then the security gets there. You see his elderly wife, Blanche, who's there, and she explains that he just got out of surgery for prostate cancer. Then what do? Then you really look like the boob.
I was just putting in my catheter.
Yeah.
I need that, you know.
But yet you don't say anything. This pervert's walking the floor. Who knows what else he's doing? What do?
At least there's not kids present
at the church.
Oh, God.
There should never, ever, on a casino floor, and there are laws even in Vegas, if you're bringing your family to Las Vegas, you have to go through the casino to get to the elevators to go up to your hotel room. That's the way they design them. And there are kids that go with their, mom and dad to Las Vegas. The rule is they can't be in the casino. So if you're there with your luggage and stuff, you can cut through the casino with your kids, stay on the mapped out walkway on the carpet, and get up to your hotel room. We're leaving the casino yesterday, and so you know what? You got to have a really special, sick kind of gambling problem if it's 5:30 in the afternoon. You're leaving the casino, and you see a mother bringing in her baby to go and play the slots.
And security was immediately on her, telling her that wasn't going to
happen. A baby in a baby carrier.
She made it through the front door, but they immediately said, what are you doing?
Where are you going with that?
So mama's bringing her baby to the casino floor to go and play a few coins while papa is around in the restroom jacking it and roaming the casino floor. What do you do?
I'm telling you, just when you think you've seen it all.
Yep. He's sitting there sipping on his beer. He said, Stan, I don't know when he's coming. There's a guy in there that was staring at the deal and cranking.
Well, it's the sort of thing that exists, but you don't expect to personally see it.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You ever run anything like that, Kool-Aid?
I've never been a part of anything.
I think
like
we should send Chris Hansen in there.
Yes. Oh, and the place is loaded with cameras.
See Chris Hansen walking there? Mind if I join you?
Really doing a thorough job there, aren't you?
We are joined in studio by attorney Mike Chinopoulos. 277 or 775-9600. Mike is here for you. And especially now that a lot of you are sitting in traffic and got a little free time on your hands, you can maybe get something off your plate by talking to Mike. If you're dealing with a divorce, child support, alimony, if you're dealing with a landlord,
and even
mortgages.
If you can't get to the phone, I can't speak for you, Stan, but I know each and every week that we talk to Mike, I learn something I didn't know before.
He joins us right now. If you want to talk to Mike, 277 or 775-9600. He's here to help.
We may think our problems are unique, but the more we listen to the callers, the more we find out everybody's going through basically the same things.
Yep, just in different ways. Mike, welcome.
Hey, guys.
I got a question to ask you right off the bat. Haney did a story yesterday, and we said we were going to wait for you to get here to answer it. All what right. kind of... Hypothetical. We won't even use this guy. Hypothetical. I'm pulled over. Now, I've got... hypothetical. I've got a large amount of probably illegal stuff in my car.
He's got a pound of cocaine.
All right, I got a pound of coke in my car.
This was a real story yesterday, but we're using me as an example. Get pulled over. I got a pound of coke in my car. Cops pull me over. Get out, and they start asking me, you know, what are you doing? You were speeding, sir.
You're swerving. You've been drinking.
You know, have you been drinking this evening? Do you mind if we...
You get popped for DUI.
Yeah. You mind if we search your vehicle? And I say before
Well,
the
I
search,
don't think they asked. They just started taking...
Oh, because he got popped for a DUI.
He got popped for a DUI, and they were about to take an inventory of his car, of what was in it before it was towed, to cover their ass.
And
they informed him of this and said, anything we should know before we take this inventory.
Right. And he said...
Nothing I'd like for you to know.
The guy said, and it's as close to a quote as I can remember, everything in that car is mine except for anything illegal.
Is he covered?
I actually had a defendant once who got arrested.
There's the guy.
who got arrested and had cocaine in his pocket say, these aren't my pants.
Did it work?
No.
All right. Fair enough. It didn't work for that guy either.
No. I think that there's no illegal search there because they have to do an inventory, and they have every lawful right to do an inventory. It's incident to arrest.
Well, and they have a responsibility, too, to protect his
property.
To
the citizen. That's right. So, you know, if while doing the inventory, now I got to tell you, you know, if the cocaine is in a false panel along the inside of the door where it's been taken out and the cocaine's been put inside the door and they find it, I got a problem with that because they're clearly searching and they should have got a search warrant as opposed to doing an inventory and when they open the glove box to, you know, see what's in there and write it down on the... not even open, you know, openly visible would be it's just sitting on the seat, it's in what's called plain view, right? This is in the glove box or in the trunk,
but
let's say.
If he's got several pounds in a fake gas tank, they can't go cutting that open.
I got some problems with that because they're searching without a warrant. There's clearly no exigent circumstances. The person's under arrest. They could go get a warrant if they had probable cause. But if they open the trunk to take an inventory of, you know, hey, maybe this guy's got beach chairs or whatever in his trunk, I got to do a complete inventory of the citizen's property to safeguard it because I'm arresting him. And they open the trunk and there's 20 pounds of cocaine. Yeah, I think he's screwed.
Yeah.
277.
He just really thought that he was a real legal beagle.
Yeah, not so much.
277 or 775-9600 to talk to Mike Chinopoulos. We got Cooter on line one.
Looky here.
I like that name.
Looky here. Cooter, you're on with Mike Chinopoulos.
Hello, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, Cooter, what you got for us today?
Well, I got a question about the VA. I was turned down 3 times. For PTSD.
Okay.
I did a couple tours between Afghanistan and Iraq. I was stationed out at Fort Bragg. And, you know, it's like I'm hitting a dead wall.
All right. Well, you know, typically everybody coming back from Iraq gets their 201 file stamped with PTSD and bipolar because they just decided if you've been to those places, that's what you're likely to be afflicted with, and they want to protect your record for the VA down the road, so they're trying to take care of the soldier, although it ends up kind of screwing the soldier, right, because now he's got a diagnosis of bipolar that's probably inaccurate and could harm him down the road for a job or whatever, but that as it might be, I've never faced a situation where somebody's come back from Iraq and said they won't give me PTSD.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, unless you were... never heard a shot fired in anger and you were shining a seat somewhere with your backside, you know, away from any of the action.
No, I was an infantryman.
11B?
Well, I'm a 13 Fox Bike 11 Bravo identifier because I started off in 1st Ranger Battalion.
Okay, so how do you, I mean, either way, I mean, it's still a combat arm. You're in combat. Do you have a CIB?
No, because I'm a 13. My first initial MOS is a 13 Fox Forward
which
Observer.
Which, for the listener, is a Field Artillery Forward Observer, and an 11B is a straight rifleman to where the good guys meet the bad guys at the business end of an M16 or now an M4. So, I don't understand how you could not qualify for PTSD. You need to file an appeal. Sometimes the VA, like all government entities, does screwy things. And there is an appellate process. You can see your veteran service officer there at the VA, and they can help you out.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
I would highly encourage you to appeal because that's obviously an inaccurate, wrong
decision. But didn't you say, Cooter, you were turned down two or three times already?
Right. See, I got out in 04. I got injured my last tour. I had broken my back from an IED explosion, and then I come to
this
find
guy,
out.
This guy gets an IED explosion, and they say, oh, no, you don't have PTSD.
Well, the thing about it is, he said I had it from a childhood, and they can't, you know.
Your back? So your back or your PTSD?
My PTSD. They said because I lived in a, you know, I was in a pretty screwed up situation as a kid.
Okay, but at the very least, you had a pre-existing condition that was exacerbated by your service. Therefore, it's still service-connected, so that's just nonsense.
I agree.
You need to go see the VSO, the Veteran Service Officer.
Yeah, something's not right there.
It's really hard to find lawyers, Cooter, that will take an appeal like that because what happens is the government caps them at 20% of whatever the difference is. So if they denied you and you're getting zero, they subsequently approve you, and usually a PTSD claim is, you know, anywhere from 15% to 20%. Then, you know, and it's been on appeal for a year, so it goes back to your date of initial filing if you win your appeal. They say, well, the attorney can only get 20% of that back money as an attorney's fee. So nobody will do these appeals because they lose money on them. And, you know, the government thinks they're trying to help the veteran by capping the attorney's fee so the veteran doesn't get taken advantage of by an unscrupulous lawyer who wants to take half the money or whatever. But what they've done is they've limited it so much that they've really screwed the veteran because now nobody can afford to do their work.
Right.
So, you know, right, go see the VSO. And, you know, if you have any other questions, give me a call at 239-ASK-MIKE. You know, I'll be glad to try to point you in the right direction and help you navigate the system.
All right, pal.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
And, you know, that's something about Mike that people should know if they don't already. You really understand the needs of our veterans. You know how this thing works. And
well, you know, and first of all, the government works at, you know, the pace of government, which is slightly slower than the speed of smell. And so that's bad enough as it is, but then when we add bad policies to it, it's even worse for the soldier.
Here's David, line two. David, thanks for holding. You're on with Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law.
Hey, guys.
Hey, David.
Hey, first of all, Stan, you and Haney know me, but I'm going to keep a little quiet here, and I know that Mike's going to ask me some questions I can't answer, but I'm going to be vague.
All right. Fine.
Moved into a new house in an HOA association. Went finished there 1 year completely, date to date, 365 days, finished my lease. Moved across the street into another house, same HOA. Board decided because I moved in the house without pre-approval that the existing landlord of the new house, they forced him to evict me in 8 days.
Oh, my God.
Wrap your mind around that.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, how is it that you're not pre-approved if you were approved? They're going to say, well, you weren't approved at that specific address. That's form over substance. That's ridiculous.
Why the hell would they do that?
If you're the landlord there, the second landlord from whom you rented, I would think they would have an intentional interference with a contractual relationship action against the board. And, you know, what I see is a lot of these snowbirds, they come down here and I don't know if they just don't have enough to do. They're not working or whatever.
The
but
old
on
condo
these boards,
commandos.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like, okay, you sue some of these people outside of the course and scope of their directorship on the board and put their personal assets at risk, and then maybe they'll smarten up and quit doing stupid things.
Well, that's my question because I've got a lot of this is just about to be in place. I'm getting differential things from different lawyers. I know that I'm going to have to file some state claims, discrimination, and all the other words that I'm not going to throw out right now. But is there anything stopping me from taking each individual homeowner, each board member personally in civil court because their decisions affected me and my family personally and financially?
The answer to your question is probably, but not for the reason you just stated. In other words, you may have a personal action. You can definitely sue the board. That's an entity. Now to sue the president as Joe Smith, an individual, or, you know, one of the other directors as Jane Smith, individual, you have to show that they acted outside the course and scope of their duties as a board member. Many times you'll see it like this. A police officer is accused of engaging in excessive force against a citizen. That citizen then sues, whether it's the county, the city, the state, whatever entity from that law enforcement. And then that entity, so say it's, you know, Fort Myers PD. Well, then Fort Myers as a city then turns around and sues the police officer and says, you acted outside the course and scope of your duty. We hired you to police the citizens, not use excessive force against them. So to the extent that we're liable for anything, you're personally liable. And so that's the argument that you have to come up with. Okay, what did they do that was outside the course and scope of their duties as a board member? And yes, oftentimes there are facts that help you get there. And when you do that and somebody's personal liability, personal assets are on the issue or, you know, potentially liable, and there's no insurance because the insurance will only cover them for acting as a board member, not acting as an individual. So now all of a sudden they have to pay defense costs out of their pocket and their personal assets are on the line. Oh, wait a minute. Now we got a whole different ballgame. Everybody wants to play nice.
Well, are you interested in it?
Absolutely. 239 Ask Mike. Give my office a call. Set up a telephone conference with me where we can discuss off air a lot more of the sensitive particulars between me
and
you.
Well, that situation sounds entirely foobar.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beyond it. And believe it or not, I'll put one little piece of information just for the entertainment value. The whole thing is stemming from one of my daughters, an older daughter that stayed with me for about a month out of this time temporarily. She was speeding through the complex, and she's kind of an ass. I'll give her that. But a president of the HOA walking by with a dog says something to my daughter for the second time. And my daughter gave it the old F-U, blah, 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 literally. I mean, she shouldn't have done it. It's inexcusable. It's not cool. It's not, you know, the right thing to do.
Right. But nor does it
really
justify
the whole thing.
But nor does it justify what this situation is.
Which is vendetta.
It's
inappropriate.
Vendetta.
Yeah, it's inappropriate. It wasn't okay for her to do that. But, you know, that inappropriate behavior doesn't justify more inappropriate behavior in retaliation.
David, give Mike a call, will you, buddy?
Yes, sir, I'll do it. Go Tarpons.
Here's Craig on line three. He's been holding a little while. Craig, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Craig, what do you got for us today?
Good. Always thought Stan Haney.
Hey, buddy.
Okay. I called you about 6 months ago about some child support I had in Massachusetts, and I just want to let you know, I know that you told me that it's really hard to get them to draw the principal and interest. I did pay off the child support. I was on principal and interest for about $15,000 to $17,000.
Wow.
I made a call in January hoping to get my finance together and to try to make a deal with them so I can get either less payments or shorter payments for the principals. I just want to let you know, the lady said, oh my gosh, you've been paying forever. Let's take care of this. And my case is now closed.
Wow.
Yay.
One for the good guys.
It's amazing.
So, I mean, the guys out there, you know, if you're in a situation where you do want to pay and you're paying your child support, you're doing great things, you know, try to work with them. Just keep calling and try to get the right person.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you mean to say that there should be a system where people who actually want to pay child support and support their children and be responsible fathers should actually be helped and tolerated?
Well, I wish it was that way, but I'll tell you what, for the last 10, 12 years, it wasn't that way with me. It was like pulling teeth.
Well, congratulations. One for the good guys.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. We got time for one more here, and they just hung up.
I like to see fathers who want
to
support their children.
That note.
Yeah, it is good to end on that note.
Want to support their children, want to be a responsible father. I like to see the system work out for them and not so much for the bad guys that won't pay child support and take
Absolutely.
Care of their kids.
Well, and you know, the thing is, the good guys and the bad guys, but what has always bothered me is the lack of accountability as to where that money goes. There is none.
There is. No, there is no account. You don't know.
Mommy
that
wants
it's
to buy a new car with daddy's child support money. The law doesn't say anything that she can't.
That's right.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you. I mean, it's almost embedded into people's minds. 239 Ask Mike. That's probably the best
mommy
way.
Mommy wants to get a new king size bed for her and her lover. Daddy will pay for it, and the law says that's fine.
Don't get me started. 239 Ask Mike. You can get me at mike@absolutelaw.net, where you can email me directly. You can go to www.absolutelaw.net, and I have a link on the Stan and Haney webpage.
But here's the thing I want to point out about 239 Ask Mike before we let Mike Chiannopoulos go, is that no matter what time, day or night, if you call that number, they have a way hitting
That's
the
right.
right number on the keypad.
You just
that
press
they can
number
get
four.
You, and they can get you.
Press number four. If you don't remember number four, just listen to the prompts. It'll come to my cell phone. Doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. If you need me, call me.
He's Mike Chiannopoulos, Absolute Law 239. Ask Mike. Mike, thank you.
You bet.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney.
Earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis. Some call it global warming. Some call it climate change. But there's one thing I think we can all agree on. Our Mother Earth has been hitting us pretty hard lately.
These days, let's face it, Mother Nature has gone batshit crazy and she's trying to kill us.
For too long, we've been trying to save the environment.
Save the whales.
Save the polar bears. And where has it gotten us?
I don't know if you checked the scoreboard lately, but the environment's been kicking the shit out of us.
Haven't we had enough?
Haven't we had enough?
Haven't we had enough of the environment? We Native Americans have always believed that nature is something to be conquered, strangled. The dead wolf cannot bite you in the ass.
97% of American scientists agree. Climate change is real.
I'll buy toothpaste if 3 out of 4 dentists agree.
So yes, it's real. And yes,
we're causing it. And you know what? Good.
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 Good!
Where I come from, if someone tries to kill you,
you get to kill them back first. It's just self-defense.
But it's good common sense.
Here's a question. If Al Gore is so smart, how come he didn't get to be president?
Did you know that you can make oil out of whales?
Whales are made up of a lot of oil.
We need that oil.
What are we saving it for?
Save the polar bears?
The polar bears. Them things will take your goddamn arm off.
Ask the adorable baby seals what they think of polar bears.
I saw Lost. Yeah, it'll be safest for everyone if they just live in their cages.
The elders have a saying. The salmon and the lizard arrive home in 3 days. What the f*** does that mean?
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of spending my entire night digging through my trash by the light of a sh**ing fluorescent bulb for bits of plastic with that little recycling triangle on it.
All for the environment.
That triangle is for squares.
And how does the environment pay me back?
By sending a f***ing tornado to throw my house into a wildfire.
Which was swallowed by an earthquake.
And then I am hit with a tsunami.
But I'm not exaggerating a fear-mongering. All of that literally happened.
I don't have a place to live!
Our cars have climate control. Our homes, our casinos. But our world doesn't. That's not right.
It's time we find out how fast a Bugatti Veyron goes from 0 to 100 on whale diesel.
Load faster than a solar one.
It's time to stand up to the environment!
It's time to show Mother Nature who's really in charge.
If Mother Nature's gonna be such a bitch, I say we pave her ass.
This world ain't big enough for both of us and her.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time
to help stop the environment.
Before it stops us.
We can save the environment, or we can save ourselves. Pick a side.
Mark Haney and the News.
Bill.
Starts right now.
And now, the news with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good day. This is the news for today. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. That was just yesterday on this newscast. We were talking about Anna Nicole Smith and the DNA test that had been ordered on her infant daughter. She is dead this morning. Anna Nicole Smith died yesterday after collapsing in a room on the 6th floor of the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood.
That's the smoking floor.
Is it?
Yeah.
So that's our floor.
Yeah.
I love that place.
I do too.
Me too.
Yeah, you took a liking to it.
I love it. I want it. Well, I wanted to go back.
I bet she had that nice suite.
Oh, she checked in on Monday, I think, and you know she got a lot of comps, a lot of, everything. Kool-Aid and I saw her about a month ago.
You know what? Good for them. I mean, if that place wasn't on the map already, it is now.
Yeah.
Great facility.
Oh, it's top flight.
Wish they'd return our love. There's still no official word on the cause of death. Everyone is speculating that it was drug overdose. Another media source claims that they have eyewitness information that Anna Nicole choked on her own vomit. Although, as Tom and I are always quick to point out, they can't really prove whose vomit it was.
No. Right, you can't dust for vomit.
Thank you, Tommy.
That source regarding the vomit... That source was reporting to Access Hollywood. The same source says that Anna was taking what he referred to as, quote, a children's sedative. What the hell is that?
St. Joseph's aspirin for children, 80 milligrams.
She probably just liked the flavors. And that she, quote, kept passing out before her death.
Oh, brother!
Now, keep in mind, this is the middle of the afternoon, and I guess it must be so routine with her that she was repeatedly passing out right, and no one thought anything of it.
She'll be all right. She'll be fine. Get her another St. Joseph's.
Now, we are fortunate to have someone here with us today who saw Anna at what the consensus seems to be was her last public appearance, which was at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for a fight. Our senior celebrity correspondent, Stanley Edward Noelonic III, was there. Stan, what did you see?
I saw her and her entourage shuffle. She was shuffling.
Did you see her pass out?
No, but she was zombie-like.
Yes.
Kool-Aid was there, too, at the Seminole Hard Rock. We saw Anna Nicole come in through one tunnel, walk to ringside, talk to Hulk Hogan for a little while, and then shuffle out of there.
Hulk Hogan?
Hulk.
Yep, she walked around the ring, had pictures taken by every...
The paparazzi following her.
But then when Hulk Hogan walked in initially, all that paparazzi left her. She was standing there like...
Oh, they all went to Hulk.
Yep, are you sure?
Hulk Hogan?
Yep,
Hulk
are you Hogan. Sure you don't want to take those pictures with me? Then she went up to Hulk Hogan and said, "Ah, I love you, I want to take pictures." And Hulk, you could tell...
You can go right now to the TMZ website.
Yep.
And they've got the video of her when she was shuffling through the fight and hugging Don King and going up to the Hulkster and all of that. And you can see she was zombie-like.
Anything else you gentlemen care to add, you being among the select
few
to see her in her last public appearance?
I thought she looked good at the end.
Oh, that's what he was saying on the TV, because we all remember the fat Anna Nicole.
Yeah.
He sees her doing her diet commercials, and he says to me...
Oh, was she standing by the horse?
Yeah, he says to me, looking at the TV, she looked good at the end.
She did. I think she was very pretty, besides her personality.
Have we got a...
and the drugs.
Karaoke version of Candle in the Wind that you can load up?
Yeah, I'll see.
The Princess Di version. Oh, I guess it would, no.
Meanwhile, a Los Angeles television station says investigators searching Anna's room last night shockingly found illegal narcotics and prescription medications. There's no word on what any of these substances might have been. And we may as well get this way out of the way early. Anna's so-called idol, Marilyn Monroe, died of a drug overdose in 1962 at the age of 36. So there's your contrived, eerie similarity fix. Yeah. It's over and done with.
Oh. You got a little something there?
Mm-hmm.
Kool-Aid, get ready.
Yeah, you got to sing it, Kool-Aid.
I can't sing
it. You got
it
off the top of your head. You have to do a tribute to Anna Nicole.
Tribute to Anna, because she was pretty at the end.
It starts out, "Goodbye, Anna Nicole." Goodbye, Anna Nicole. Though you kept on passing out in your hotel room from the methadone while everybody watched.
Take it, Kool-Aid.
Choke on your own vomit. And no one seemed to care. Sometimes Anna Nicole felt that life ain't fair.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Come on, Kool-Aid, do your part.
And Howard K. Stern killed his son, and now he's killed Anna Nicole, too. Looking for the money, what he can get through. But I know Anna's in a better place where the scripts don't ever expire. Oh, Anna, you set our hearts on fire.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh. See, that's how it's done, Kool-Aid. He's crying. Those I'm are sorry. Tears of I sadness.
People grieve in their
really
own way.
Really got to you, didn't it, Kool-Aid?
They grieve.
I miss her so much.
Those are tears of sorrow.
Just come back.
It's obviously an emotional moment for us all.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid openly weeping.
Yeah. I never knew he felt.
Oh, God.
I am Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Hold on. Somebody's calling.
Oh, my God.
Easy, Kool-Aid. Yes.
Dan, it's Doug.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Good. How are you? Brilliant, man. Just absolutely amazing.
That was great. You coming down, are you?
Yeah, we're going to be there a little after 9. Maybe we'll get in early, but
right.
We have a little bit of CD sampling we can put in the machine anyways. We don't have to necessarily go on
okay,
until you guys want us.
That's
to.
Fine.
We're going early to prep. You know?
All right, we'll see you in a little bit.
All right, buddy.
All right, bye. Okay.
Good to hear from Doug McGregor.
Yeah, hero Doug McGregor.
On his way here.
Yeah.
There's so much Anna Nicole stuff. Do you want me to save the rest of it for next hour? Or do you want me to continue?
Yeah,
I can't handle anymore right now.
I know. That's what I was thinking, is that you seem to be overwhelmed.
Just miss her.
You got enough time for two quick stories of something else? Because I'm concerned about Kool-Aid.
The Foo Fighters have no idea why Prince covered one of their songs, Best of You, during his Super Bowl halftime performance. But they're saying it could have been an act of revenge. Back in 2003, the Foo Fighters did a cover of Prince's song, Darling Nikki, which, in this reporter's opinion, is his absolute best work. You don't know the song, do you?
Oh, I do. I'm a big, huge Prince fan. I got all his albums.
But that song in particular, you don't know?
No.
It starts out, I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby doing something to a magazine.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Oh, yeah. It's a good song. Yeah. Good song. But Foo Fighters covered it. It was released as a B-side on an Australian version of one of their songs, and they played it live several times. A few radio stations picked it up, so the band considered releasing it in the United States. But Prince was not down with that. He actually rock-blocked them.
Oh, Kool-Aid, you don't need to know anything about that.
Rock-blocking.
Your ears don't need to hear that.
Prince told Entertainment Weekly he didn't like other artists mangling his precious masterpieces. So when Prince did a mashup of Best of You with Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower, the Foo Fighters were literally shocked. Did he do it out of respect or out of a need for revenge? Foo Fighters drummer Taylor Hawkins, glad to finally be quoted in an article, says, quote, dude, I have no idea why he did it, but I'd love to find out. I mean, the thought went through my head that maybe he was doing it as a sort of F you, or maybe he really likes the song. We really don't know. Either way, it was amazing to have a guy like Prince covering one of our songs and actually doing it better than we did. And that is why Taylor Hawkins will never be quoted in an article again. Grohl will put the hammer down.
And something's up with that guy, because every Foo Fighters video, he dresses up like a girl.
Sick.
Don't they all?
Not all of them, but he and everyone dresses
sick.
Up like a girl.
Sick.
Dave Grohl made a pretty stewardess.
Yeah. But he made a prettier stewardess.
Hello, I'm
really?
He was the blonde.
Investigative reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, Last March, a ferry in British Columbia called the Queen of the North. Do we have any dramatic music? I never mind. I can cover it.
You got that taken care of?
I just need some, because you can't do this story without some dramatic music.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Last March, a ferry in British Columbia called the Queen of the North sailed off course, ran aground, and sunk. Of the 101 people on board, 99 managed to make it out alive. But one couple couldn't make it to the lifeboats and died. Yesterday, a spokesman from the Canadian Transportation Safety Board was discussing the investigation into the sinking and let a crucial detail slip. They believe the reason the boat went down is that the captain wasn't paying attention to the course. Because he was busy having sex. He would not give any other details. The board's report on the sinking will be finalized in the next 3 to 6 months. Not since the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. A ghost ship. Oh, wait a second. All but two people. Yeah, two people died, but 99 made it. I guess that's not really appropriate.
Ghost ship.
Yeah. But it sounded better with
it
the dramatic
did,
it music.
Yeah, great.
And that's the news for today, February 9th.
Double M V double I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Thank you, Mark.
Today, we're going to talk about Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla was the father of Western technology. For everything we know is like modern electricity, Tesla invented that. Supposedly, one day, he was taking a walk in a park, and he suddenly experienced this tremendous flash of light. And he saw in his mind the perfect blueprint of an engine that would create something called alternating current. And that was when he was like, I have to go to the United States to meet Edison. I'll meet Edison. So Tesla sailed across the ocean, found Edison, who at the time was like the king of electricity. Edison was like, oh, all right, well, I guess you can work for me. And his job was like digging ditches for Edison. And from this guy Westinghouse, like, gave him money to start like working on his idea of alternating current. So Edison didn't like the idea of alternating current because he owned all the patents on direct current. Alternating current was the only... I'm too drunk. I'm going to start puking. Westinghouse and Tesla won the contract to supply all the electricity to the World's Fair. And this pissed Edison off. He was like, this. Alternating current is bad. Alternating current will only cause massive deaths. And so he started this campaign to prove that alternating current was like the worst current you could use. What he did is he began to like publicly electrocute animals. Edison was an asshole. He was like taking like sheep and being like, look what happens when the sheep touches the alternating current. Oh, it gets electrocuted. Look what happens when a cow comes in contact with alternating current. It dies. Tesla was horrified. And he'd be like, this is awful. I am inventing electricity and you look like an asshole. You look like a f***ing idiot. I'm gonna throw up. I can't do it. Tesla, he was basically ostracized from society. He was 84, And he died in a hotel, completely broke and alone. This is a nightmare. I'm in hell. This is hell. I'm talking about Tesla in my puke.
Let's do the grab bag right now, and then we'll let's talk to. You're not on yet. You're not on yet. Okay,
oh,
you're on.
Need to be on a couple of seconds, aren't I?
You're on the baby mic.
How about now? How about now? Yeah, I'm on the bitch mic.
Scouring the globe to bring you what you need to hear, according to him. Buckle your seatbelts. It's time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
G-R-A-B-B-A-G. Grab Bag.
Now, I know to start the grab bag off a little bit earlier this morning, Haney paid a special tribute to Anna Nicole Smith.
Just off the top of my head.
Off the top of your head.
Heartfelt.
Heartfelt. Tommy, if we could hear a little bit of that.
Goodbye, Anna Nicole, though you kept on passing out in your hotel room from the methadone while everybody watched.
Take it, Kool-Aid.
Choked on your own vomit, and no one seemed to care. Sometimes Anna Nicole felt that life ain't fair.
Oh, come on,
it's heartfelt. And Howard K. Stern killed his son, and now he's killed Anna Nicole too. Looking for all the money, what he can get through.
Yeah.
But I know Anna's in a better place where the scripts don't ever expire. Oh, Anna. You set our hearts on fire.
That's great, Amy. That's nice, nice guy.
Reduce Kool-Aid to tears.
Crying like a baby.
I miss her like crazy. Look at her.
Here's the Florida police chief.
The police Seminole. Chief of Florida?
The
police
no, chief. Hold on. But it says Florida police chief here. It's actually the police chief of the Seminole tribe.
You talking about Charlie Tiger?
Yes.
My name is Chief Tiger. I'm with the Seminole Police Department.
First name, please.
Charlie. At approximately 1:45 p.m. today, the Seminole Police Department responded to the Hollywood Hard Rock Hotel in reference to a person needing medical assistance. The person later identified as Anna Nicole Smith was transported, was treated by paramedics and transported to the Hollywood Memorial Hospital. At 2:49 this afternoon, we were advised by hospital personnel that Anna Nicole Smith had died. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family. The cause of death will be determined by the Broward County Medical Examiner, and the Seminole Police Department will continue its investigation into this matter.
Now,
Yeah, they should be doing the autopsy now.
Oh, she's right there now being looked at. WTBJ immediately on the scene looking for witnesses.
I've seen the whole thing.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, who am I speaking with now?
This is Captain Fitzgerald.
Captain Fitzgerald, you were one of the people that responded to the scene?
Tell
me what happened when you arrived.
Seminole Rescue was already in the room with a lot of Seminole security. Also, her bodyguard and her husband, Howard Stern, was on scene. He was concerned, so he was giving us her medical history.
What was the situation with her when you arrived at the room?
Seminole Rescue was attempting CPR at the time. Go down with the ship. Hollywood Rescue 74 stepped in and took over the scene and intubated the patient. That means put the tube down the throat. We started an IV. We pushed all the medications. We took 12-lead EKGs. We attempted pacing her, which would be an external pacemaker for the heart. And we had electrical capture, but no mechanical capture, which means we couldn't get her heart beating.
Yeah, they were saying that she was dead at the scene.
Was she alive when you all arrived?
No. She was unconscious and not breathing.
What did the family members or the bodyguard tell you about what transpired in the minutes up
to
that
room and found her unconscious? He put her on the floor and started CPR and called for help.
Tell me, not just with her, but when you find a person under these kinds of circumstances and situations, because we know there's certain information that you can't give out specifically, What do your people do, and what would be a standard procedure in a case like this?
Well, we would start with the basics. We got to start with CPR, and then we put intubate, put a tube down into the lungs so that we can control the airway. And we start the CPR, start an IV, and without, you know, all the information from witnesses, you know, there's just certain medications that we push automatically, like Narcan for any chance of overdose, and Vicar because we didn't know how long she was down. Epinephrine is like a adrenaline to start the heart, to get the heart started back on its own. Atropine. There's a whole list of medications in order that we do as far as our protocols go.
Then they took her to Memorial Regional Hospital in Hollywood, and there was a witness at the scene that saw that.
They were all hovering around.
Your name is?
Monica.
And your last name?
Alvarado.
Alvarado. And what? Where were you? Tell us what you saw.
We was out there, me and a friend of mine, her mom's having a baby. So we just came out to get fresh air, and we seen a whole bunch of cops and an ambulance, and a friend of ours told her that was Anna Nicole in there.
And so you saw her here coming into the hospital. Did you get a good look at her in there?
She was
not
covered up.
She was covered up, completely covered up, as if she was deceased?
Yeah, they said she was dead upon arrival.
So that was what you heard over there?
Yeah, I actually took a picture of the ambulance. But
oh,
there was
good. With her.
There was too many cops
something
there.
To show
you couldn't
kids?
See who was
no,
with her?
Because they were pushing
the
everybody back.
So, and what else? Anything else that you can tell us that you saw? Was there any rush by the medical authorities to get her in? Were they trying?
They just moved everybody back. They didn't want nobody there, so we got pushed back.
So you couldn't tell whether they were still trying to work on her or anything?
No, they told her she was dead upon arrival.
So that there wasn't any urgency to try and work
on
her?
Yeah. She was covered up, so she was already dead.
You were talking about this earlier. Anna Nicole's mom was on that Nancy Grace show.
Oh, yeah. She predicted it.
Yeah. Here, back in October, she predicted.
Vicky Lynn, you know I love you. Always have. And be very careful about who you hang around with, because you may be next.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
See, and then Geraldo Rivera immediately runs to the Fox television studios to get on camera so he can say Howard K. Stern did it.
It stinks of a drug overdose. There's one person in common with the death of her son, Danny, last September, and Anna Nicole herself today. That's Howard K. Stern in the room both times. There was testimony yesterday, or rather people have come forward and said they saw Howard K. Stern disposing, of methadone pills in the toilet, flushing them, evidence down the toilet. So he was at least, according to these witnesses, guilty of obstructing justice or destroying crucial evidence, if not being the drug supplier. I believe that when all is said and done, this will be a methadone overdose, the same drug that killed her son. And I believe that Howard K. Stern better get himself a good attorney, because her ersatz husband, in my view, has a lot of questions to answer.
And they're not formally married, as I understand. And by the way, one of the issues that you're speaking about or speaking around is there's lots of money involved here, right?
Well, they're not formally married, so you have to say, what about this little baby? They have a four-and-a-half-month-old baby here. Howard K. Stern is registered as the dad. That will certainly be challenged. If I was her mom, to me, the mom now is the sole legal custodian of that child until the paternity is determined. I want her mom to step up to the plate now, the grandmom of that baby, and say, you know, I want that baby protected. How do we know Howard K. Stern, who's not been charged with anything, we don't know if he's guilty of anything, but how do we know he doesn't go to the Bahamas where the baby is allegedly with the wife of a high-ranking Bahamian official?
What?
How do we know he doesn't go to the Bahamas tomorrow, take that baby and split? Because that baby is the heir to whatever she gets of the $1.6 billion estate of Marshall, who's dead. And now his son is dead, the guy that opposed her her taking half her, you know, 94-year-old husband's gigantic estate.
And finally on the Anna Nicole thing, Larry King remembers.
Oh, God.
No, they were good friends.
Yeah.
An overweight Anna Nicole Smith. A little tipsy Anna Nicole Smith, a delightfully funny Anna Nicole Smith, a very sad Anna Nicole Smith. She was so many people wrapped into one. One riotous night we had was split screen. I was in L.A., she was in New York, and she may have been on something, but she was just whacked. Her answers were hysterical. And the following Saturday Night Live did it, and instead of parodying it, they had someone playing me, Drew Barrymore played her, and they did the exact words we used. They didn't change anything. They used my questions and her answers as the skit.
Wonder why. Didn't require any comedy writing there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no need for embellishment.
No.
Could I be addicted to liquor and could handle cocaine easily?
Here's Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. Cowboys got a new head coach now. Bums boy, Wade.
So here we are with a team that this decision was made, founded on, that we were the team that were at the cusp. We certainly wanted to have more success than we've had. But at the same token, there's been a lot of hard work, a lot of good people. Bill Parcells leading the way, that have done a lot to put us in a position to get in here and have an exciting team now. Wade's coaching pedigree is vast and extensive. He's coached under the likes of Marty Schottenheimer, Marv Levy, Dan Reeves, and Bum Phillips. He has coached against men such as Tom Landry, Don Shula, Chuck Noll, and Bill Belichick. His personal pedigree was not a small factor. As a matter of fact, it was significant as well. Wade Phillips is a Texan.
A Texan.
As we make this announcement one day after the National High School signing date, I can't think of any person that has a greater understanding and appreciation for what football means in the state of Texas.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
It's the NFL.
He gets a little choked up here, though.
Come on, NFL.
Yeah, come on, NFL. Come on, NFL. Come on, NFL.
Did you give me an effing break?
Come on, NFL.
Come on, NFL.
I mean, come on, NFL.
There we go.
Ridiculous. Here Jerry introduces
him. I'm not your dancing monkey.
here Jerry introduces him. Gets a little choked up.
Why?
I want
know.
Our fans to know that you couldn't have anyone that has more of an appreciation, that has more respect for, that has more hopeful promise of our success than I've had in trying to make this decision about who the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys is going to be. We needed to get it right. In my mind, we've gotten it right. With no further ado, I want to introduce the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Wade Phillips.
Thank you, Jerry.
Here, here.
Thank you very much.
5 days a week, he spends sleepless hours suffering migraine headaches, lower back pain, and hot flashes to bring you what you need to hear, according to him. Join us again next time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
G-R-A-B-B-A-G, Grab Bag.
All right, we're going to take a... What the... Pardon.
We're not your...
I've been more of a sandwich board where we're standing in the middle of the road saying total liquidation.
Yep. Everything must go. Prices slashed.
Government-ordered auction.
Yup. Oh, those days are over.
Mark Haney in the news starts right now.
And now, the news with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good day. This is the news for today, February 9th.
Double M-V double I.
Telling it like it is. I'm Mark Haney. Anna Nicole Smith is dead this morning. And by the old clock on the wall, they should be slicing her open in the next 20 to 50 minutes.
Yep. They got to find out what the hell happened there.
I could probably hazard a guess without having
sure. Geraldo thinks it could be murder.
Here's the interesting thing. Who was there when the son died and Anna Nicole herself?
Who's the only connection there? Who is the only
Howard connection? K. Stern. Yeah, Geraldo knows everything.
He knows it all.
Why does he always pop up?
Well, he popped up over at Fox.
I'm here at the site of the grisly scene.
Yeah.
I do have a loaded handgun. Well, we got all kinds of stuff on Anna Nicole. Most of it you should already know.
Like?
I miss her.
Oh, I know. You were all busted up the last newscast.
You know, it hurts.
How does it hurt?
Just when I got so close to her when we were there for the boxing thing.
I know.
Did you get close enough to smell her?
No. But I felt like I was right there. I just,
you saw her long blonde locks.
Yep, that's all I needed.
Because the two of you were there at her last public appearance, which was at the boxing match at the Hard Rock in Hollywood.
Yep.
Went in there with her entourage, the paparazzi, the flash bulbs going.
And I think she almost tried to give me a look.
Almost.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
What held her back? She knew the power of the Kool-Aid?
No, I'll tell you what held her back, because he had two of his girlfriends that went to the fight with him. However, they were two sections over and didn't talk to him through the fight either.
That's not true.
He brought girls with him, and they chose to sit elsewhere.
He had tickets, and he said, come on to the fight, ladies. And then they sat way far away from him and didn't talk to him.
You know, he had better find a woman and get married in the next year, because he's not going to look any better than he does right now.
Well,
it's
probably
going to get worse.
Yep.
There's one day I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be 150 pounds.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you got some horrible disease and we're wasting away.
After they take your legs off from the diabetes.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
That's harsh even for you, Stan.
I know. That's what I did right there, right into the gutter.
No. I'm not David Moulton.
You keep wearing those cheap plastic clogs, your feet will fall off.
And sometimes it just hurts me, Stan.
I really wish you'd start wearing quality shoes again.
Well,
you're tired of the hurt, aren't you?
I am. It's a lot of pain in my life. A lot of suffering.
But I am going to get that done. I told the program director the other day.
Yeah.
At next year's, well, I guess this year's Christmas party, I want them to start giving out awards again. And I want there to be the first annual John Cassio Rising Star Award. And he would be the first recipient. And then when they go next year to give it out, they'll have to read a big speech about how it embodies the spirit of John Cassio.
What?
Drive and determination to make it in a business of losers.
But what? I mean, what's the criteria to win that, though? I mean,
Rising star.
Yeah, I know, but let's face it. I'm like one of the youngest people here, and I'm...
Well, that's why you're a rising star.
Right, but I'm saying, who's going to come? I mean, I guess you can have people come after me, but no one's going to be as good as me ever.
No, it would probably no one on the broadcast side would ever win it again. It would probably go to, like, traffic people.
Yeah, sales.
Yeah.
I don't want those sales snobs to get it. They get everything.
Well, you'd have to hand them the big trophy.
Yeah.
You'd have to present the trophy.
Right. God.
Trophy would be like the Stanley Cup.
I'd toss it to him if I was a salesperson.
I'm serious. I want to get that done, we've got time. I want to get really a trophy made that's out of all proportion to the award itself.
Yep.
Biggest, gaudiest thing.
Yeah.
A lot of silver and crystal.
Mm-hmm. Well, faux.
Right.
Right.
Anna Nicole checked into the Hard Rock on Monday with a small entourage that included a private nurse, a bodyguard, and her lawyer slash hanger-on slash quasi-husband Howard K. Stern. They were due to check out today. She checked out early. On Wednesday, the same day, a judge ordered Anna to have her daughter tested for paternity by February 21st. Anna reportedly came down with flu-like symptoms, according to one of her other lawyers. The lawyer also described Stern as overwhelmingly distraught.
Put on the act. Put on a good act. Keep the heat off you.
You know, if he was smart, he wouldn't have killed her now.
Oh, jeez.
He would have waited a year.
When would
you
have killed her, Kool-Aid?
You got to wait at least 2 years.
So you would have killed her in
two years.
2 years
from where?
From when he killed the kid. I mean, you can't do it a couple months later. now there's so much, you know,
would suspicion.
Speculation. And
how suspicion. would you have killed her? Would you have killed her differently? Do you agree with the way he killed her?
Because did they do the autopsy on the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah, drugs in there.
Cyril Weck did it.
Yes. Yeah. So you got to do a different drug for her. It can't be the same drug.
Well, we don't know that yet. She's being cut open right about now.
Well, if he's dumb enough to do it. Now. I miss her. Look at you. Look at you, Anna. You dirty girl, you.
And this is pretty crazy. And when I say crazy, we're talking Oliver Stone-style crazy. But we may as well throw it out there, especially given the direction that Kool-Aid has steered things. Back in October, after the death of Anna Nicole's son, Daniel, Anna's mother made an ominous prediction to CNN harpy Nancy Grace.
Bitch.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Oh, she is a ruthless, ruthless whore.
She gets what she wants.
I'd like to see her and Gloria Allred square off in a steel cage match.
You talking about White House counsel Gloria Allred?
Yeah. Anna's mother, Virgie Arthur, a former cop, told Nancy Grace that she believed her grandson Daniel had in fact been murdered by Anna's lawyer slash hanger-on slash quasi-husband Howard K. Stern, so he could get his hands on Anna's money. She said, and I quote, "If Howard marries her and she ends up dead, then who does the money go to? Danny is not there." I really wonder.
Of course. Of course.
But I mean, it's not as if it's... it's not as if it's... really a surprise that she could have a drug overdose.
Exactly.
If you saw even 5 minutes of her show.
That's what makes this all the better for him. They won't suspect me.
Yeah, but like Kool-Aid said, that's being a little greedy doing it that quick.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah, but he only has one client or had one client.
Precisely.
And just in case you need a reminder of what a sick, disgusting society we live in, film footage of Anna Nicole's last living moments were purchased for $500,000 from a paparazzi outfit called the Splash News and Picture Agency. No word on who bought it. The footage is 2 minutes long and shows paramedics wheeling Anna out of the Hard Rock on a gurney and performing CPR on her as they head towards the ambulance outside. $500,000 for 2 minutes of cheap video.
Would you watch it?
Why? They're just wheeling somebody out on a gurney.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it? It has nothing, not her dropping like a sack of potatoes or anything?
No, she would never drop food.
No.
Neither would I.
I think you might have, it's too bad she's gone. You would have made a nice couple.
I think we would have been great together.
Yep.
She can do her drugs and I can eat.
Well, she liked to do both.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, want to throw something around the room briefly. We'll start with Stan. Pick a number between 1 and 20.
18.
Kool-Aid?
3.
Tom?
7.
So we had 18,
three,
and 7. Okay. Believe it or not, out of the 20 possible choices, almost 1 out of 5 times, if you tell someone to pick a number between 1 and 20, and I'll ask the audience to do this now just for your own amusement, pick a number between 1 and 20. Research has shown that out of the 20 possible choices, 1 out of 5 times, people will choose 17.
I was closest.
Okay.
Okay, you win the big booty prize. Yeah.
There's no real scientific explanation why. The best guess, our first instinct is to pick 7.
Yep, that's everybody's lucky number.
Because that is considered a lucky number. But most people feel that would be a little too obvious, so our minds jump to 17 because that still contains the number 7 but is less obvious.
Exactly right.
In Italy, 17 is an unlucky number, like 13 is over here. Air Italia does not have a 17th row. Italian buildings do not have a 17th floor, and their unlucky day is Friday the 17th.
Wow.
What do you make of that? I know pretty much all you've ever said about Italy is that it's a filthy country.
Dump. 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 I don't know why 17's their unlucky number and Friday the 17th. You know something, Kool-Aid, I know you're young, you don't know this. Many of your skyscrapers, hotels, don't have a 13th floor.
Really, Stan? I didn't know that.
It goes from 12th to 14th.
Really?
Don't smart off to him,
Never
Kool-Aid.
Been in a building like Get that before sarcastic. To know that.
Yeah, you didn't even know when we were outside talking about the old days and Buster Brown shoes. You didn't know nothing about that.
Yeah, well, I wasn't around in the 40s.
In Sweden, 17 can be used as a swear word. And a day on Uranus lasts 17 hours.
There you are. That's the reason.
That's a hard pounding from the sun there on Uranus.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story...
Never be afraid to go for the cheap laugh, Kool-Aid.
...respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. 66-year-old Joaquim Pereira of Cosmorama, Brazil... is our pick today for Badass Grandpa of the Month. This week, his 8-year-old grandson, Matias, was playing around on his ranch when a 16-foot anaconda emerged out of the trees and wrapped itself around the 8-year-old boy.
Oh.
In case you don't know anything about anacondas and you did not see the 1997 film Classic Anaconda starring Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube.
Mm. The what? What was it?
Shh.
A classic?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
John Voight in that as well.
Thank you, Tom.
He has really come into his own. In his later years, mm-hmm. he had that lull there, but then really came back and is very good at playing the heavy these days.
Yep.
Great in Varsity Blues.
Pardon?
John Voight.
Varsity Blues?
Yeah.
Was that chick flick, right?
No, it was an MTV film about a high school film.
Didn't it have Dawson from Dawson's Creek in it? Dawson.
So it was a chick flick.
It wasn't a chick flick. It was...
Yeah.
Teen was girls, like, they flocked to that movie.
It was for young gentlemen.
Anacondas are not poisonous. They kill their prey by coiling around their victims and squeezing the life out of them, much like Hoist Gracie.
Mm-hmm.
Matias's little friends ran to get Joaquim, the grandpa, who's 66. Grandpa ran over and started beating the hell out of the snake. For a half an hour, he beat the snake with rocks and stabbed it with a knife until finally he killed it and it let go of his grandson. Keep in mind, this is a 16-footer. That's hard to kill.
It's a biggie. Jeez. All muscle.
Matias was taken to the hospital and needed some stitches. While the anaconda was squeezing him, it also bit him. Otherwise, he's going to be okay. Anacondas are common in Brazil, but rarely attack humans.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most...
Oh, what did I do that? Oh, I hit the wrong
button. It's over.
Oh, yeah.
It's over.
It's over.
That's the news for today, February 9th.
Double M, V, double I.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
Thank you, Mark.
It must be Sunday morning. I ask, why do you lay your love on me so strong?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It must be Sunday morning.
Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, you dirty motherfucker.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
What a wonderful Sunday morning service. We're going to get to talking later about the seven deadly sins. If you don't know what they is, then look it up. I see all you young people out there. You got them damn cell phone with a typewriter on it. Well, look it up, motherfucker. The seven deadly sins. Yes, praise Jesus, we're going to get to that. But first, I present to you the upcoming Reverend Love Marriage Retreat. That's right, we're going to talk about marriage. You know, a little something about that, don't you, lady? I'm talking about marriage. And Reverend Love Marriage Retreat is all based around the four F's. That's right, Reverend Love, four F's. I'm talking about food, fun, fellowship, and f***. That's right. I present to you that f***ing is important. Where, how do you say, Reverend Love, how come you standing up in the pulpit saying a word like f***? Why you think I'm talking about f***? Where you think babies come from, mother f***? Now, maybe I stepped out of turn for some of the older members of the congregation. Well, I sure am sorry about that. But this is for the young generation. People need to get out there and make them babies. And you ain't gonna make no babies without no f***. Hey, lady, how about you your man for a change? Gentlemen, Reverend Love is here to tell you it is fine as wine, for your lady to you off. But God forbid you be so foolish as to put your mouth on her filthy thing. It just looks like a big old myth. You ain't got no business up in there. And that never was no problem in my day. But you know, a lot of the young gentlemen come to me and say, Reverend Love, she be acting all the time. That's all. A man don't need to be doing that. What a man need to do is to do his business and be done with it. So you watch a damn ball game. Another thing that I've heard about it is the most perverse, sodomic, and gomoric things I've ever heard. I will kick you out of this church, young man, if you ever let a woman put some nasty feet in your mouth. I saw this on television. It sickened me to my stomach. I'd have no part of it. Now, that woman I seen on TV had a feet in a man's mouth. Yeah, of course she like it, because it cleaned her all up. And then the man turned into some kind of toe-sucking. That's right, I said he's a toe-sucking. Stand up. Be a man. Tell her to get down there and get to work. And don't take no sass. Now see, it's got to be respectful, but be firm. You got needs and she got needs, and y'all gonna have to work it out somehow. You understand? You tell her she need to get down there and go to work, and you find somebody younger and put it in to do it. And then you got to be prepared to follow up like Reverend Love did. Hallelujah, mother. You got to be prepared to follow through. Idle talk is the devil's pulpit, you silly mother. Ain't no lady want to lay down with a broke mother. Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us that women is venomous creatures. Yet they're the only one to know how to charm your snake. I submit to thee, you slimy, dumpster diving bitch. Bang some trash can lids together. That'll run them off. Silly motherfucker. I don't want to hear no jingle, jangle, jingle, and nothing about. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing like jingle, jangle, jingle won't going on. That building fund is empty. Empty. They're building fun for my new pastor. I don't want to hear a thing about your broke ass and how people is hurting. Reverend Love is hurting. Ain't nothing in that building fun. You need to fill that motherfucker I got into this business because I was told that the house of God is recession-proof. That has seemed to be the case, at least with this sorry-ass congregation. I have had enough, but I will tell you this. Reverend Love need a swimming pool. Reverend Love need a swimming pool and a new roof. And they ain't going to build themselves. The Lord help those that help themselves. So I'm going to help myself to what's in that collection plate and get this to his, you know what I'm saying? Reverend Love know how to put a family back together again. Everybody just shut the up and love one another. Giggity, giggity, yep, yep, yep. You hear yourself, lady? That ain't nothing nobody want to hear. Your man don't want to hear that giggity, 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 yep. Slip, slap, slurp, slurp, gurgle, gurgle, then be happy. You got it, dummy? Hallelujah. 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 We also like to recognize Miss Florence Richard. She is 98 years old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But it'll be a cold day in hell before I give my heart again.
I may have to put Kool-Aid down.
What's he doing?
He's just running his mouth in here.
You want to shut up? You got your cartoon.
He's in here telling me how to do my job, and what I do is not really work.
See, that's how I figured you'd take it, and that's what I said.
What did you say? You said, that's not really work.
I'm not telling you how to do your job, but if I was you, I'd do it like this.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
Kool-Aid? Shh.
Shh.
Shh. Tonight, Blue Oyster Cult, of course, performing. And there'll be three local opening acts, and one of those acts will be the Cracker Blues Band. And it is a pleasure to have our friend back in the studio with us, along with bandmate and founder Don Hedman. It's Doug McGregor. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back. Well, it's good to be back with you guys.
Before we talk about tonight and the band out performing, I was going through the news press last week, and I saw with
what because you do read
occasionally. I read; it's a hobby of mine. I saw that you took it upon yourself to go and help the people of Central Florida that were affected by those tornadoes. You loaded up your car with water and food and essentials and headed out. Over to Central Florida. Tell us about that experience.
Well, you guys ever seen a tornado damage? It's unreal. I've never, because I went to Port Charlotte where my folks live after Charlie and saw exactly, 150 mile an hour winds. But this is more than that. This is amazing. These people have nothing. I mean, foundations are gone from their homes. It was just amazing to see the damage, but just thought about, what they might be going through. So, I mean, Red Cross is doing a great job. FEMA is doing a great job. But, it just takes a little extra effort to have people from out of the area come on up and help out, which is what I did.
How bad was it over there?
It was terrible. I mean, the tornadoes jumped across big areas of land and landscape. But, man, when you see where it hit, it's just amazing. I mean, because a brick house gone, and then probably 100 yards away, there's a house intact with nothing on it. So it's very strange how nature works in that regard.
But, Doug, everybody obviously has sympathy for the people in Central Florida. What's the difference with you that makes you hop into your car and decide to take it upon yourself that I personally need to do something?
There's something that had to come through your head. For those of you who don't know, Doug McGregor, who's the cartoonist, the great cartoonist for the news press, he had a school buddy, didn't see for a long time, guy needed a kidney. He gave him his kidney.
He shames all of us.
I know that. He's my hero.
Don will tell you the real story, though.
He's been upstaging us for 4 years.
And then with the thing going on in Central Florida, took it upon himself. He said, that's it. I'm going to go over there and help them out. I mean, you're fantastic. And I'm going to
Well, we
tell
all
you
went
that.
Through Charlie, so we all know what happened. And some of us were luckier than others, but, just want to remember.
Yeah, but I don't know of anybody else that said, I'm loading up the car and going up there.
It was a nice day.
Yeah, I bet it was. And I'm sure everybody was very appreciative.
Well, they were. And the churches are really helping out big time up there. I just happened upon a Methodist church up there and came into the parking lot, and people were getting ready to go help out, and that's where I was. So it was just luck.
Let's talk about you guys tonight. You guys, the Cracker Blues band, going to be all blues all the time, are going to be one of the opening acts. And I know you, Don Hedman, founder of the band. This is a big thing. You guys are, first of all, a very busy band, and this is just another stop along Southwest Florida where you guys are performing, right?
Well, we're a local band.
Get right up on that microphone.
We're a local band, and we've been doing a lot of the big festivals. We've done Edison Fest a couple of times. We did Taste of the Town. Did the Gumbo Fest last week and just had a blast. It was incredible. Lots of people, over 7,000 people, and we've got a lot of good reviews on it. A lot of good people coming back and saying, "Hey, man, where is Doug McGregor?" That's all they ever say. You know, and we can play for 2.5 hours. You know, and they want to come back and see Doug McGregor because he's such a star. But we all try to do a good job. And our personal motto is if the people in the audience are having more fun than we are, then we need to have more fun. And that's what comes up, and people come up and say, "Hey, man, you know, look, it looks like you guys are just having a blast." And that's what it's all about. We shut it all out. We just have a great time. Our job is not to perform, it's to entertain. And that's what we like to do. We like to make people laugh and have a great time and remember some blues songs that maybe they forgot about over the years. We do a lot of older blues stuff from Booker T and the MGs, Spencer Davis, Johnny Lee Hooker, Muddy Waters. But we also do newer stuff, Keb Moe, Johnny Lang. We're doing a little bit of everything, SRV, a lot of good stuff.
You guys ever thought of maybe Haney would like to sit in with you guys?
He is more than, in fact, if he comes up on the stage tonight, I will hand him a microphone.
We got a special song. Well, we're not going to do it tonight, but we could.
Though. We might.
Standing at the Urinal Blues.
Well, oh, yeah. You heard that.
I heard it.
That's some deep blues there.
I want to hear the trifecta.
The trifecta blues might work for you.
You guys have been doing this for a while, though, haven't you? I was asking you before we came on the air. You guys have been together as a band for a little while, haven't you? And it was you, Don. It was you put the band together, didn't you?
Our bass player and lead vocal, Tom
Pilsey.
Getting
right up on that microphone.
Bass player and lead vocal Tom Pilsey and I worked together. We put the band together, kind of got things going, and played at some little bar for free for about 3 months, and kind of got everything. Those were our rehearsals, and one day somebody decided, "Hey, we'll hire these guys." And I think they paid us all enough to pay for gas, and which still continues sometimes. It kind of started from there, and the band has kind of grown and morphed a little bit, changed some guys, and we've moved around. But we've got to a place now where we're comfortable. We're rocking. We're putting out some great sounds.
Don't you love the fact that the price of gasoline has gone from 75 cents to $3, but what people will pay for a band has
Absolutely.
Remained the same for 20 years?
He was telling me that the other day. We were at the casino, and he was saying, you know what? There is. If you go back 10, 15 years to now,
that's right.
Bars and places and clubs still paying local bands pretty much the same thing that they did
actually,
a decade ago.
If you're in a local band, you're doing it because you love it. You're not making
that's
any
right. –
you're losing right. money because you're lucky if you can pay for your equipment with that.
I know guys back in the 80s that were doing $1,500 for 3 nights a week. And you can't get that kind of
money
anymore.
I see Doug McGregor. You got your Lee Oscar there.
You want to do a little thing on the harp for us? Can you sing a little bit with a little harp? That would be a nice little thing to see this live right here in the studio.
There, Doug. A little A riff there. Get up here.
I can play.
Come on over here. You better leave my little girl alone. I'll do a little something for Kool-Aid here for Anna. A little tribute to Anna for Kool-Aid.
Give me a little rhythm, brother.
You better leave, y'all. You better leave my little girl alone, yeah. You better leave, y'all. You better leave my little girl alone, yeah. Yes, I might get evil, man, and do something wrong, yeah. All right. That's for you, Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Cracker,
we're looking forward to
Cracker Blues.
So I see you got a CD there. What's the killer track?
Oh, this is...
Now, you told me I had to be careful because I have to zoom in and zoom out of that. I wish it had something standalone I can play.
Yeah, it didn't work out for today, but
too bad.
We had a technical problem with our CD, and it just didn't work out right. So we're working on it.
What's your favorite song to play?
Oh man, it has got to be Stormy Monday. That's my favorite song. One of my favorite blues songs of all times. And we're doing some upbeat stuff. We're doing some Delbert McClinton stuff and little things like that. So we're having a blast.
And I guess McGregor, you work for the news press. Why couldn't you get your times right in the news?
You got to see how the word came out, man.
I just draw the cartoons, baby.
That's true.
And then if it's spelled right, it gets in the paper.
Who's your harmonica heroes?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, geez. There's a lot of them. But
Sonny Boy 1 or 2?
Sonny Boy 1 or 2. Probably Sonny Boy 1. Yeah. It's hard to, you know, these guys are just phenomenal. I just pick it up because I love to play just from my heart, and that's really where it comes from. Blues is just what all you feel, and I'm all over about the feel part of it. You know, I just don't know. Technically, I just wail on it when I can. My ears are going, and sometimes my lungs just can't take it. But it's fun just to give it 110% when you're up there.
You know who I enjoy, who maybe not be the biggest wailer on the harmonica, but I thought the guy who really got it right was Junior Wells.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Junior Wells, for sure. Absolutely did. Yeah, I listened to a lot of his work, too. But
And the way he incorporates that with the vocals, man, I've not heard anybody that does it that well.
You do one or two of them separately, good, but to do both of them at the same time, that's hard to do. I mean, I just played a tambourine on the side, and I can't even chew gum and walk.
One of the things that we decided when we put the band together was we weren't going to be a cover band. And they're great, and you know, I respect some guys that are out there, and they're playing that music, and they're doing it the way the artists did it. Probably because of the fact that none of us were good enough musicians to do it just right, we decided to do it our way, and that's what blues is all about. It's interpretive. We can take a song that we heard from Muddy Waters or Johnny Lee Hooker or Luther Allison and get the general feeling of the song, but the blues comes from out in here. It doesn't come out of the instruments. It doesn't come out of anything else. It comes out of our hearts. And we do what we feel, and we have a blast doing it, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but some of the best blues musicians that I have ever met privately say the same thing. Because I go, man, that's great what you're doing there. And he goes, yeah, well.
Hope I can do it again sometime.
He goes, well, it sounds that way to you. He goes, really what's happening is I'm trying to play just like Johnny Winter, except I can't play like Johnny Winter, so it comes out different.
Exactly.
And Johnny Winter said he was trying to play like Muddy, style. And it didn't quite work out.
Yep.
CrackerBluesBand.com. You can find out all about these guys. And, you know, I'll leave it to you, Don. You got a full band here, and you're going to go see them later on. And how come you didn't mention my name on the air? You know, you talked about Doug. You talked about you. Yap. Yeah. Mention your band members so they can all say they heard
their
name.
All right. Our lead bass player and lead vocalist is Tom Pilsey. Awesome guy. Knows more blues lyrics than anybody I've ever met on the planet. Our lead guitar player is Bob Stickle, a great guy. He's a peach of a guy. I've never even seen the guy frown, let alone get angry. He's one of those kind of guys that just smooth and plays such a clean lead. And Clyde Jenkins on the drums, a local guy, has been around for quite a while, and Doug and myself, and we make up Cracker Blues, man, and we have a blast.
You guys play Little Village?
No.
You know what I'm talking about? Little Village.
No, man. Sorry. Don't.
Little Village.
It's a small town.
For those of you that got that,
you're laughing.
Yeah.
The two of you are laughing.
Doug, once again, you are always welcome here.
Do you know what your next mission is yet?
Yeah. What are you going to be doing next?
He's only got one kidney left.
I'm looking around the room for donors here. So I'm laughing. Oh, my God.
Like an ear or something.
I've asked Kool-Aid already, but I don't know.
And you know what?
You made anything inside of me.
You made Kool-Aid's day while we were doing other things. Doug sat down and put marker
to paper.
Very good
likeness of Kool-Aid.
Yes, perfect. Great.
It's awesome.
Can you describe the picture, Kool-Aid?
It's me.
and it's holding what?
Yeah, it's holding a big hamburger and a box of Kool-Aid, and it really makes me hungry right now.
That's a triple-decker hamburger, sir.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.